Transition Radio from San Diego, exploring the world of change with you. Are you ready to take your life to a new level? Join transition coaches and best-selling authors Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster as they explore strategies to navigate changes in health, relationships, money, career, and so much more. Get the information and tools to make your life smoother, easier, and more productive. And now, your hosts, Paula Shaw and Kendi Foster.
And welcome to Transition Radio. This is Paula Shaw here with my new co-host, Kendi Foster.
Well, I'm starting to be an old co-host, but I'm so happy to be with you. This is great.
Oh, so good to have you, Ken. We are doing the new Transition Radio show, and we are really excited that today in studio with us is Steve Sexton. Steve, who earned his degrees in management science from Pepperdine University, and 11 years ago started his own financial planning business called the Sexton Advisory Group. Steve believes in helping clients take control because he does that through asking questions that most people don't even think of or really don't know how to ask. He's focused on his clients and creating a total financial package for them that works in every area of their life. We love that about Steve. He's also the author of a best-selling book, How to Get More Out of Life and Business with Better Results. And Ken and I both know that he's the former host of the very popular Silver Hair Tsunami because we were both guests on Steve's show many a time, and it's so great today to have you be a guest with us.
Well, Steve. Thanks, Paula. Thanks, Ken. It's always nice to be the new guest.
It is nice to have you as the new
shiny
guest.
The new everything. Old guest.
I remember when I was the new guest on your show.
The old guest has a little dust.
Yeah,
I'm all shiny and clean.
He's all shiny and buffed out. And we are going to talk today about money.
It's all about money today. Yeah,
how to make it, how to keep it, and how to pass it on to the ones you love.
Absolutely. Well, let's get started with a few current events.
Cool.
What is happening out in the world today? You know, one of the things that I've been noticing, and it's been coming to the forefront more and more, is the amount of wealth that there is in the world today. And, you know, a lot of that wealth is being generated by the millennials, right? Now, what are the millennials? They're the ones that are born right at the turn of the century, right around there, right?
Yep.
Is that millennium, turn of the millennium.
18 to 35-year-olds.
Yeah. So, you know, they're creating a lot of wealth. And it's very interesting because it's really breaking news the way they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it in so many ways. Some of them are doing it in social media. And that's one thing I've been studying a lot. Is the social media. Instagram, there's a lot of millennials making millions of dollars on Instagram right now. And how are they doing that? You know, they're really just making things up as millennials do, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're very creative. They like to
creative.
Open up their minds.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're creating shows like the Song of Style, which has 3.5 million followers.
Oh, my gosh.
Or they have shows called We Wore What? Or Wendy's Lookbook. Wendy's Lookbook, 934,000 followers.
Wow.
These shows are amazing because what's happening is they're getting into mainstream media. And what's happening is that they are being paid very large dollars for their listeners. For instance, Song of Style has over 3.4 million followers, which I just mentioned. They charge as much as $50,000 per show for somebody to advertise on that show.
Whoa.
Is that amazing?
Wow.
Now, these are at the top, but there's a whole bunch of people at throughout social media, whether it's Facebook, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Instagram, all of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're making a lot of money doing that.
Wow.
And they're, you know, I have friends, and maybe you have friends, they're inventors. These millennials are some of the most creative people out there, aren't they?
They definitely
are. Yeah.
I know someone personally who had her own business. And she had to give up her business. Well, she chose to give up her business because her boyfriend created an app that became an overnight success, some kind of a game. And now there's so much to do running this million-dollar business that it has now become that she's helping him. Overnight, they went from a couple of kids to a couple of millionaires.
Well, they're creating this in fashion, in automotive, in travel, in food, in baking. I sense that we have a complete entrepreneurial recovery going with this entrepreneurial group. Steve, I know you got a couple of millennials in your family.
Yeah. You know what? My son's 18 and he's a millennial as well. Ah. He's just getting into going to college, but he watches these gamers online. And some of them, they're used to test out the new games, and they, like you said, they get paid for commercials and so on and ads and these pop-ups. And some of these guys are making $400,000 to $500,000 a year just making these videos, having people watch them play video games.
Oh my gosh. It's amazing to me. And you know, one thing I was surprised to read is that the millennials, obviously not everyone, but as a whole, they are much better savers of their incomes than certainly my generation was, that they're like into saving at least 15%.
And why is that, Paula? Why do you think that? What's
well,
going on with that?
I believe it's because, and what the research is showing, they came of age at a time that we were going through the recession. So just like our grandparents who lived through the Great Depression and they were all about saving, these kids now have become much more aware that it can all fall apart very quickly. And so you better have some backup.
That's interesting. I think some of them probably went through a little post-traumatic stress watching their baby boomer parents lose money, having to change houses, lose their businesses, that type of thing. And, you know, it's interesting. There's something in positive psychology called post-traumatic growth. Right?
Oh, I love
Don't
that.
You love that?
Let's hear about
yeah.
that.
Post-traumatic growth. Sounds like they're going to develop a bill.
So here's what it says. It says post-traumatic growth is not about returning to the same life as it was previously experienced before the period of trauma or suffering, but rather it's about undergoing significant life-changing psychological shifts in thinking and relating to the world that contribute to the personal process of change that is deeply meaningful.
You know,
isn't that define our millennials?
Well,
I mean,
very
I know a lot of
much
them
so.
This.
And that's an exact process I talk about in my book, Grief, When Will This Pain Ever End? Because if people progress through their grief and not get stuck in it, I call it stepping into the new normal. You know, it's like you never go back to things exactly as they were. And the same thing has probably happened in this recession situation we're talking about. It's never exactly the way it was. But the new normal actually sometimes can be better because you've come to it with new wisdom, new growth, new expectations, and maybe more compassion and gratitude.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of social influence here. Mm-hmm. And you know the old adage, hey, I want to grow up just like dad did. But when they see dad in a job where he needs to get to the next position up, and that person that was there that should have retired isn't able to retire because they don't have the money because they lost it in the market.
Yes.
Now they're saying, okay, do I want to be like dad? And they're getting creative and they're figuring out, how do I do this without being in the same game or position dad was?
Right.
Not the same dad was bad. It's just that that's the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that a lot with the millennials. That's why they're focusing on technology.
Yes.
And many of them, you know, I work with some people that work at Google and they develop the gyros for the new phones. Okay.
Oh.
And you know what? These are similar gyros that they use to direct missiles and stuff like that, but they're doing it for a phone that's real dinky and everything. And they're making that technology and, you know, Google's paying handsomely to do stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the influence the outside has and they see from when in their own little bubble and they realize, you know what, I want to grow up just like dad and run the store. Well, they don't want to run the store anymore because the store's out of business. I got to find something else.
They do. Right. And you know what this post-traumatic growth syndrome, right? It states that growth doesn't happen as a direct result of the trauma. It's a result of the aftermath of the trauma.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? It's just what you said.
Mm-hmm.
They're
looking
at, what are we going to do? We're not going to do it like dad. We're going to do it something or mom. We're going to do something a little different here, or maybe a lot different.
You know what? I mean, I'm not a millennial, but I kind of went through this, mm-hmm. going through cancer 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know what? I got up in a hospital, you know, and I'm, you know, walking around because I was a nutcase. But, you know, you talk to people about the experience that they're going through and, you know, how they're all worried, you know, sitting there in chemo where a guy goes, you know, I wish I'd done this and I wish I'd done that. I wish I had my trust right and so on. And it prompted me to realize, you know what, I need to do my whole business differently in order to serve people properly. And to make sure we have, you know, they have everything from the taxes, the estate, as well as their investments in place. So when that downturn comes again, they're not going to be hit as hard. Yes. We're not going to be hit at all. Or not, you know, so those type of things.
Yeah.
Everybody can go through that. But I think it's wonderful that, you know, I love, my son's going to college, y'all know that. Mm-hmm. So he's not living at home and he's going to San Luis Obispo. But the big thing here is this. I told my wife, I want him to get punched in the mouth and figure it out for himself. I want him to call home and go.
Every father's prayer.
Every father's prayer.
He wants to learn and grow. I want him to call home and go, Dad, this is what happened. And so what's your options? Well, what are you going to do? Okay. Well, figure it out. We'll see you. Click.
Dad wants a little post-traumatic stress here.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Post-traumatic stress growth.
Right, growth.
Well,
right.
You know what? Part of the big issues that people see when they're growing up is, you know, mom and dad take care of everything. They're the bank.
Right.
They're the emotional center.
Right.
Kids think the world's around them. And then when it's not, what do?
It's so true.
And the more trauma you have, the more frustration you have, the more you figure out life, the quicker you excel and proceed.
Yeah.
And that's so antithetical to what we try to do as parents, because we want to protect them. We want to keep it all safe for them.
Mm-hmm.
This would be great stuff for us to get back into in our next segment, because we need to take a little break here. We will be right back with Ken Foster and Steve Sexton. This is Paula Shaw. I'll be right back with you.
Is living in today's fast-paced world making you feel stressed and out of balance? Are anxiety, sleeplessness, depression, lack of focus, or weight gain robbing you of your relationship and your energy? If you're ready for change, you need to call Paula Shaw at Rebalancing You. Paula helps you identify and eliminate self-sabotaging thinking and behavior. Using a wide variety of mind-body techniques, she provides her clients with the most effective processes for their specific needs. To book a rebalancing session with Paula, call 858-480-9234. That's 858-480-9234.
Well, welcome back to Transition Radio with my co-host Paula Shaw, and our guest today is Steve Sexton from the Sexton Advisory Group. We're just talking about money today, all about money, how to make it, how to keep it, and how to pass it on. And we were recently talking a little bit with everybody about the millennials and, you know, in post-traumatic stress and what goes on there. And so one of the things that I found about post-traumatic growth, let's call it that, includes that when people go through that, they generally have a greater appreciation for life. They change their sense of priorities. They're a little warmer, a little more intimate in their relationships. They have a greater sense of personal confidence and personal strength. And I think this is the millennials, too. We're talking about how that might tie in. They have a sense of looking at life through a place of eyes of how do we achieve greater things? How do we contribute? Mm-hmm. Do you know any of the millennials that don't have a business that they're giving back somewhere? I mean, most of them do, right? I read of one last yesterday that was giving back 50% of their funds go to a nonprofit.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Even right here in the studio, Jordan does these fundraising events. She'll spend a whole day doing video game marathons with her team, raising money for nonprofits. None of it is going to her.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah,
that's great.
It's beautiful. Really.
So how do these millennials get to this place? I submit they ask some amazing questions. What do you think, Paula?
Well, yes, I think that's really true. And we've talked before about how the questions you ask can change your life. You know, I kind of think that one of the things that millennials must have asked themselves long ago is, do we really have to climb the corporate ladder? Because wouldn't you two say that they're not so corporate focused as they are creative, inventive, The joie de vivre, they want the joy in life. They want those kinds of
experiences. Well, I think there's both. I think there's many that are climbing the corporate ladder and learning, but it's a different experience than I know that I had in the corporate world. You know, when I was there, it was top-down management. You did what the boss said, and you know, listen, that does not work today.
No.
You know, it's more of a team spirit, and it's more of a bottom-up management style.
Yeah.
And if your company's not in that place, you're probably going through a lot of changes.
Right. Oh, yeah, it's very collaborative nowadays, because you know what, I remember when I was a mucky muck just like you, it was definitely top down, very dictatorial, nowadays I see, even like I had the pleasure of being toured through the Google office here in San Diego, and everybody, I mean, the management is just flat. In fact, the director of engineering sits right next to the team, and he doesn't even have a name tag.
Okay. Wow.
They all have their computer screens. They're all doing their thing.
Corporate has
changed. It's just basically flat, but it's very collaborative. I mean, I didn't get to see that part, but and talking to the employees, they love it. You know, one of them I saw had a shaved head and a massive beard. if you remember the band ZZ Top, you know, all you need is a little bit of gray and he'd be there. And then you see another person, it looks like a, you know, he's a little bit older, but he looks like a 15-year-old kid about this tall, you know, and they're just super smart people. They love talking about what they do and how they do it, but they also want a quality of life and a joy that goes along with what they're doing.
Yes.
So, they, you know, that environment's there set up for that. And I think that's what a lot of millennials look for. And I think that's something that my son would probably look for. They, I'll say this, they also got to love the work.
Yes.
Okay.
And they have to feel there's purpose in it and meaning, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's huge. And, you know, like I think back to when I went to college and it was sort of prescribed, right? You were, well, for women, you were either going to be a home economist or you were going to be a teacher or a nurse. That was kind of it. You know, it started expanding after that. But we all sort of thought there was this prescribed path. I don't think they think like that now. Now, everything is available. First of all, there's no profession a woman can't get into for the most part. And I think it's not just thinking the corporate ladder is the only way. Now they are thinking, like you're saying, that there are other things, or let's create our own app, or let's start our own business, or, you know, all this talk. I never heard that kind of talk when I was that age. And I think it's so exciting. They feel much more limitless, I think, than we did. Don't you think?
Well, when you're raised in a really a culture that we have in the United States, it really is a limitless culture. You know, the place we put limits in our culture is just on ourselves, mostly. You know, we can pretty much, if there's something that you want to do in this country, if you can learn to use the power of your mind, you can pretty much accomplish that today, right? I think anybody can. Now, some people would argue, no, that's not right. Some people are disadvantaged. They don't have the opportunities. And that is true. But I think when people understand, there's Oprahs in the world. I look at Oprah with her disadvantages. I look at a lot of people with disadvantages that they've had, that they've come out of, out of their disadvantages and were able to create a lot of wealth for themselves.
Yeah, they didn't let that define them.
They didn't let it define them. But I think, you know, one of the things, when I study success over the years, one of the things that is the key to success is a couple things. We're talking about in a second, we're going to talk about the questions that can change your life. I think that's an important key. But the other thing that the millennials have all over our generation, the baby boomers, is the giving piece. It's that contribution. It's that being in service.
Yes.
When you start to think in those terms, you start to think about, you know, Zig Ziglar said it years ago, you know, if you give enough people what they want, you'll get what you want. Now, that was even a self-centered thought, but today's thinking has even changed past that. It's more of, how can we contribute? What can we get back? Where can we contribute to the world? And as a result of doing that, a lot of these millennials are making a lot of money. We can all take note of that.
That's true. And they've grown up in a time of the internet. And I think that's one of the reasons that they have more social concern. They just are connected with people all over the world. My daughter is still good friends with people she went to elementary school with. I don't know anybody I went to elementary school. Do you guys? Are you?
I do.
Yeah, I have
Steve,
one.
You're unusual.
Oh, yeah. No, I am very unusual. It's just that, yeah, there's just one person.
Well, hey.
We grew up on the same street, went to the same nursery school.
That's
and then
really
went to the same high school and didn't go to the same college, but that's the only thing.
You know, I visited classmates.com the other last week, and I looked at some of the classmates, and I didn't recognize any of them. So
so the question is, were they your classmates?
I'm not sure if they were or not. They sure look a lot older than me. I don't get it.
No, it's this growing old thing. Okay, guys, so let's talk about some questions. I'd like to ask you, what kinds of questions do you think and what kind of beliefs are important to hold to get to a place of having financial freedom?
Well, I'd like to kick us off on that, Paula.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first belief I think a person has to have is that I think they have to believe in themselves. I think they have to have that belief that I can do this. Mm-hmm. I can make a difference. As entrepreneurs, there's a lot of challenges that happen, and working in the corporate world, wherever.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have that core value that I know you build into your children, because you and I have talked, and I build it into mine. One of the things I ask my grandchildren every day when I see them, I said, or I tell them, I said, make sure to create great memories and be a leader, right? And I know you say something similar to that to your children, right? So let's talk about that. You know, what other things does somebody have to create financial freedom from a core value point of view, Steve?
Just self-sufficiency. You know what, I bring this back, and this is a personal experience, but you know what, when I was first coherent enough after I woke up going through the big cancer surgery, and my wife at the time was just freaking out. Okay.
Oh, yeah. That was 10 years ago, Steve?
That was 10 years and a few months ago.
Okay.
You know what? I said, it's okay. We're going to be fine. Okay. And she goes, well, what if you can't go? And I go, honey, I can go anywhere and make this kind of money. Okay. It's just, I'll just go get a job. It's no big deal if I can't do this. And I just knew that I would be able to do those things because I was self-sufficient. And that's what I was taught from when I was little. Because, you know, we're a family of five. And my, don't get me wrong, mom and dad provided us very well. But if you really needed a helping hand, it was at the end of your arm in our family. So, you know what, if you wanted to be, wanted to go play sports, hey, we'll sign you up. But, you know, there's five of us, so we can't drive you there all the time. So you're going to have to ride your bike. So if, you know, in school, they never really got on us for not getting good grades, but they expected us from us. And
yes.
They kind of inspected that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When it came to sports, it was about performing. You know what? Hey, if you want to be the person that plays and be the person that does those things, you're going to have to do all this extra work. So, you know what? You have to figure out how you're going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that self-sufficiency, whether you're playing sports in elementary school, doing your own grades, working at it, and if you need help, go find it. My dad, he told me, so he goes, look, go steal what somebody else does and tell them that it's their idea.
That's your idea.
He goes, that's called learning. People do it all the time.
It's a model success. Yes, model success.
So now I'm getting a little more clarity about what you said jokingly before about how you wanted your son to go to college and get punched in the mouth and then figure out how to make it okay.
Oh, yeah. You know, even in a battle plan, they have great plans. And then when you get shot at, it all changes.
Yeah.
Same thing with business
Good
plans.
Point.
It's the same
Good
thing.
Point,
we make
right?
our plans and then things happen. Things change.
So we're
How
talking.
How many times have things change, right?
Flexibility, an important key, right?
Yeah. You know, I'd love to talk about another piece there. Maybe we'll do that when we come back.
Well, we're good for a little bit. What
we are.
You
okay, good. Let's talk about managing stress when it comes to creating financial freedom, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's
I
huge.
Think that's your expertise,
huge.
Paula.
Well, one of the things we were discussing earlier is that some people just want that financial goal so badly that they're willing to give up quality of life. There's no balance. They're not sleeping right. They're not eating right. They're working 15, 18 hours.
There's no exercise.
No exercise. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think the balance has got to be huge, right? Because if we don't have balance, we do have stress. And there is so much information out right now about stress. In fact, Steve, you've mentioned that you had a cancer surgery. Stress, they are now finding, is a major cause of cancer. We actually have cancer suppressant genes that get turned off by too much stress.
Oh, wow.
So the body can't even do what it's designed to do. So in our next segment, let's look a little bit at how do you achieve success without going crazy with stress? Oh, that was kind of a little rhyme. Not bad. How
Not
you
bad,
achieve
Paul.
Success without going crazy with stress. And we're going to talk about that in our next segment.
We got Pisha with us today.
We're cooking here.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about some success habits. And we're going to talk about Steve a lot about what he does, too.
Yeah.
So that'll be great.
All right. We'll be right back with all of that.
There's a question many of us ask ourselves when we are grieving. When will this pain ever end? Life transition coach and grief recovery specialist Paula Shaw wants you to know there is light at the end of the tunnel. In her new best-selling book, Paula gives you information and practical exercises you can use right away in your recovery process, including breathing methods, the emotional freedom technique, energy psychology work, and many other healing tools. Grief, when will this pain ever end? Available now on Amazon.com.
And welcome back to Transition Radio. This is Paula Shaw here with my new co-host, Ken D. Foster, and our wonderful guest and dear friend, longtime friend, Steve Sexton of the Sexton Advisory Group. We are talking about money today, how to make it, how to save it, how to pass it on to the ones you love. And in our last segment, we were just talking a lot about self-sufficiency and what are those basic core things we need to have in order to create wealth or to create financial freedom. And we've been looking at a lot of those characteristics. And one of the things I'm curious about, Steve, is, well, we've established the fact that a lot of millennials are creating wealth. They're making money, some of them overnight. Some of them are doing the corporate thing. And but what I'm reading is they're actually contributing a lot to their 401ks, more than they would need to. And so I'm wondering, Steve, are you seeing these people? Are they to the point where they're coming to financial advisors and trying to figure out how to grow it?
Yes. Actually, what they're doing is they want to set up their future because they've lived through 2008. Mm-hmm. They're like, okay, I need to set this up now. Mm-hmm. In fact, many of the people that are making significant, you know, multiple six-figure incomes, They're saying, okay, what do I need to do to make work an option when I'm 55? And they know they're going to have to work a while, or if they're, how to put it, you know, I work with people at Google, they're clients of mine, they've been given great retention bonuses and things like that, but they also understand that world is fleeting, and it could all be gone in 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. So how do I set those things aside so I can live the life I want if this all goes away?
And what do you tell them?
So I basically say the first step is to have a plan. Okay, you have a long time to save. So the more you can save when you're younger, the better. Mm-hmm. So for example, yesterday I was talking to a dentist, he and his wife are dentists, and they're building practices in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And he just left the military and they're looking to have a home built in Colorado and they need so much for the home. And he also wants to put money aside to invest and all these sorts of things. And they're in the middle of getting practices going. I said, what's your first priority? Well, we'd like to get the home that we're going to be in for the next 10 years. I said, great. How much do you have saved? He said, $50,000. I said, here's what you need to do. How much can you and your wife put aside between now and the next 13 months when that home closes in order to pay for the lawn and all that stuff? And you know what? It's the first time he's doing it, so he didn't realize I'm going to have to buy furniture, window treatments.
Oh, yeah.
So I just saw this frown going. I go, he thought it was going to be like $70,000. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No. You need to think about 120. Okay. So I talked to your wife. I went through a budget with him, and I said, do you think you can put that away? He goes, I think we can. I said, okay. So what do you guys need to do in order to get there? So we showed them the numbers to get there. And now he knows that's what they need to do. And until that occurs, they're not saving for anything else. Okay. And now they have that. He's got a healthcare issue. They're going to have to get healthcare because he's leaving the military. So We worked those things out. So we're planning on that. And then we showed him how to, hey, look, if you want to have their option, they want an option to retire at 45. So we created this option that they fund. So the first part of their funds go to being a retired 45. Second part is going to live off now and do other things. And the third part is, hey, you know what? When I turn 65-70, this is what this bucket's for. And then what I also want is to make sure there's things for those kids that we don't have there yet, and they're creating these buckets for those things. Mm-hmm. So they figured out if they just get a 5.5% return and they put a certain amount of money away, they'll be able to achieve everything they want in their life, which means they don't have to get risky. Mm-hmm. They can get a reasonable rate of return on non-correlated investments and live their life and be happy. And that's basically what they're looking for.
So there are safe investments for mm-hmm. young couples like that that mm-hmm. you recommend to people.
Yeah. And, you know, I have others that they want to take a lot of risk, and they can since they are young. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And they want to have very growth-oriented, aggressive portfolios. And mm-hmm. you know what? If they've got 15, 20 years to go, they could probably do that. So, mm-hmm. you know, we have a money management team work with them to create that. So, but the key here is savings. The big word that I know that was taught all over the world is compounding. How much, if I have money and it compounds at 6%, how much will I have?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's an old adage, mm-hmm. if you save $157 a week for a period of 30 years and get a 6% return, you'll have $1 million. So that means even somebody who doesn't make a lot of money can have $1 million when they retire.
Wow.
So the key is compounding.
And it looks to me like it's really important to have that plan, like in writing, so it's concrete, it's real, right?
You need to know your budget,
mm-hmm.
the Starbucks, the shopping, the going out. Mm-hmm. This couple that I work with that works for Google, they didn't have any idea about how much they really spent going out.
Yeah.
$70 five times a week.
Right,
okay,
right.
For the both of them, $350. Times 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. We're up at $1,500 a month. Now it's $18,000 a year just to go have lunch.
Wow.
Okay. And then you add in the other stuff. And then you start adding in the 3 Starbucks a day at $5 a piece at $15. You know, I've got people that spend $1,500 a month at Starbucks and they didn't realize that. And I said, look, there's things called a Keurig. It's $50, okay?
Right. Coffee pot only costs 40, and
right.
you can use
yeah.
it many, many days.
Yeah. I bet you can find one of those at the Goodwill, too.
Steve, listen. You know what? This might be a good point. Before we ask him another question, let's have him give his website.
Oh, great
and his
idea.
Contact let's info, because people who just heard what you said may be wanting to call you and do this themselves.
We love helping people like this. Now, our website's sextonadvisorygroup.com, or they can call 1-800-560-2611. Again, that's 1-800-560-2611.
Great.
So, Steve, I know debt is a big challenge for a lot of people in this country, and I assume...
Did you say dead or debt?
Wow, I think
debt
it's part of the
too.
Same word, isn't it?
It's hard to say if you're getting wealthy
debt.
If you're
That's
dead.
That's a big challenge. I'm trying to wake myself up. I'm sorry.
It's let's see. They both start out with D. They have E. debt. Debt can create death, I think,
Can
of
kill,
a marriage.
Yes.
Can create death of self-esteem and a lot of other mm-hmm. challenges. So how do you advise people, you know, young people especially, when they come in and they have debt, how do you advise them?
Well, first of all, I look at debt as something that it drags them down. Okay, so it's a monkey on your back until you get rid of it. You're better off earning an interest than paying an interest. In order to do that, I ask people to list all their debt from the smallest to the largest, payment date, interest amount, and the payment amount. Okay, so we say, hey, look, make the minimum payments on everything else but the smallest one and work on getting rid of that. And then once you finish that one, add that to the next one. Into the next one, and pretty soon you're off with your debt. You want to get to a point where if you're buying a car, unless you're doing it for a business purpose and you're leasing it, it makes a different story. But if you're buying a car, see if you can buy it cash. And the only thing you should finance is a home. Mm. And you want to get yourself to that position. There's many people after 2008 that I met with, they had $150,000, $200,000 in credit card debt.
Whoa.
And you know what? They were 65 and I've never defaulted on anything. I'm going to pay these things. And I just did the numbers and I said, you know, you're never going to be able to retire. And I'm not advocating bankruptcy, but basically what I did is I said, you know what? If you're ever going to be able to have the life that you want and retire and be able to retire, you're going to need to go into bankruptcy. So, you know what? In a few cases we had to do that, but that was the smart thing. Mm-hmm. But if you're younger, don't get into it.
Yeah. So let me ask you about the debt thing. So let's say somebody's got some credit card consumer debt, and now they become aware of it. You've helped them with that. Do you advocate savings and paying off the debt at the same time, or just pay off the debt?
Well, my first piece is emergency fund. Mm-hmm. So if, 6 months worth of expenses, you need to have that in the bank. Mm. Even if it earns 0.01, you have it in the bank, okay? Because you never know when life has ifs, and I'm a perfect example of that. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing, start focusing on your debt, okay? Mm-hmm. because you could be focusing on your debt, have no cash, and then the life hits, you're in trouble.
Right.
So, but there, you want to get rid of that credit card debt as soon as possible. We live in a society that markets to everybody, buy now, pay later. Mm-hmm. You want to stay away from that. The more you can stay away from that and live within your means, the better off you're going to be, the more happy you're going to be, the less stress you have. Mm-hmm. It's I believe you should love what you do. Mm-hmm. It's tough to love what you do if you have to take a job because you have to have the check.
Yes. Mm.
Boy, that's, isn't that the truth?
I mean, people that's have true. So much more stress, so many more heart attacks, cancer, whatever.
That's right.
I was just talking to a client yesterday about this very thing. Like, she knows what she really wants to do, what would light her up, but the money is in this other thing that she's been doing, and she's got more experience with it and all of that, and yet it's killing her soul. Mm. Finding that balance is so important, mm-hmm. really important, and very difficult for mm-hmm. a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You know what, speaking of debt, Steve, or even just the story you were telling about retirement, what about our listeners who may have parents who aren't really saving, who haven't saved over the years, and now they're getting concerned, what happens if these parents get sick or need long-term care or any of that kind of thing? What would you advise? I mean, we can't necessarily sit our parents down and tell them how to live their lives, right?
Well, you know what? I had a similar conversation with my folks. I kind of knew they'd be okay. Mm-hmm. But the conversation really went around, mom and dad, if health issues came about, how would you want to be taken care of? Mm-hmm. And one of the first things that my dad says, he goes, I've got a lot of friends, and my dad's 80, so he's got a lot of friends that now don't recognize people.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
He goes, I just kind of wish I'd, fall asleep and not wake up. Mm-hmm. But I said, well, if that doesn't happen, how do you want to care for it? And they want to be cared for at home. Mm. And basically what we did is we made sure all those, whether it be insurance policies or the finances, were there to make sure that occurs. Now, if mom and dad haven't been saving for those type of things, and that's going to just completely derail it, sometimes family gets involved, but people need to understand there's Medi-Cal planning, mm-hmm. where Medi-Cal would actually take care of it. In fact, I was talking to a couple yesterday, and he's got COPD, he's got all sorts of things. And we maybe can talk about this a little bit more, but we talked about, hey, what would happen if you... how to put something in place now to be there in case that were to occur.
These difficult conversations are really important. I think we should talk about this a little more when we come back in our next segment.
Sounds good.
We'll be right back.
Is living in today's fast-paced world making you feel stressed and out of balance? Are anxiety, sleeplessness, depression, lack of focus, or weight gain robbing you of your relationship and your energy? If you're ready for change, you need to call Paula Shaw at Rebalancing You. Paula helps you identify and eliminate self-sabotaging thinking and behavior. Using a wide variety of mind-body techniques, she provides her clients with the most effective processes for their specific needs. To book a rebalancing session with Paula, call 858-480-9234. That's 858-480-9234.
Welcome back to Transition Radio with Ken D. Foster, my co-host Paula Shaw, and our guest today, Steve Sexton from the Sexton Advisory Group. Right now, we're talking about some of the difficult things that people don't want to necessarily acknowledge to create wealth, or we're talking about parents specifically, one of the things we might have to talk about, have those hard conversations around that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Steve, what do you advise your clients when you have parents that are kind of have a lot of blind spots around money, their estate, their wealth? What?
Or maybe their attitude is, life is short. You should just spend it, live, and do what you want to do.
Well, I find out most people that have parents that things are short, from a financial situation, usually the parents already know that, and they're just hoping they don't have the issue. And they've a lot of times they've just, you know, put the blinders on and forgot about it. It's the same reason why they never got life insurance, because they didn't think they would die, or they didn't want to think about death. It's the same reason why people don't get a trust, because they don't want to deal with the idea that somebody in their life could pass away. Mm-hmm. So the first thing is, you know what, how do you, I always ask, you know what, if, you know, health issues hit you, how do you want to be taken care of? Mm-hmm. And I keep asking why. Well, why about that? Why, you know, why do you, you know, want it to be done here? Where do you want to have the care taken care of? Okay, mm-hmm. So how much does that cost? Do you have that? So who's going to cover that?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Okay, so how do we do that? Well, have you ever even looked at the facilities? Okay, I've actually toured facilities with different clients. I don't want to say facilities, because everybody else is being put in a facility.
Yeah. Right.
But you go to the continued care retirement communities. You go to the assisted living communities. You go to the 55 and older communities. You know what? You go to all those things and you show them, here, this is what it's all about. So they realize it's not as bad as what they thought. Okay, that's number one. If people don't have the assets, you can create plans through proper Medicare planning where you can make sure the spouse or the surviving parent isn't poor and has some money to live their life if the other spouse is in serious situation.
Exactly.
You don't have to do a therapeutic divorce or a financial divorce is what a lot of people call it. So you can structure those things. But the key is the conversation. It's a tough conversation. Mm-hmm. And for kids, you know what? You can either have that conversation now or be dealt with the decisions for your parents later on.
Right.
There's a lot of people that went, oh my God, mom and dad have nothing. They don't, you know what? And they're living in the house where all the stuff is packed up and look like pack rats just because they got into a position where one person is taking care of the other and they don't have time to take care of the house. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing you know, both of them are in that position and they can't take care of each other and they can't take care of the house and the kids show up. It's horrendous. So I recommend you, if you're in your 50s and your parents are in the late 70s or in the mid 70s, have that conversation. Hey, what's going to happen if life's issues come up? Mm-hmm. How do you want to deal with it? Do you have the money for that? Okay.
These are such great questions, Steve. And I'm just wondering, is there anything on your website, or if people go to your website, would they find any of this sort of information?
Yes. If they go to our website, they're going to be directed to the Silver-Haired Tsunami website. Uh-huh. There's a large number of videos that are from news interviews that I've done with multiple people about, hey, how do you have this conversation with mom and dad?
Great.
Okay. Mom and dad going into long-term care. Here's, you know, that type of thing.
And the website address again?
It's the silverhairtsunami.com.
Oh, good. So they can either reach you at the sextonadvisorygroup.com.
Yeah.
Or Silver Hair Tsunami.
Or even go to YouTube. You can go to the Sexton Advisory Group for YouTube. There's about 700 videos from all the different interviews that we've done across the years.
Great.
And it would be easy to sift through which ones they'd want to listen to.
Beautiful. So that's really valuable. Really valuable.
That's really valuable. And, you know, we're talking about some success habits in this segment. And I love what you just said. You know, one of the success habits is having the tough conversations along the way. What are the success habits do you advise your young millennials to put in place so that they are going to have wealth at the end? We talked about the savings piece, the compounding interest, having the tough questions. What else?
You know, in life, I'll say this, get comfortable being uncomfortable, which means don't worry about trying new things. Just go and do it. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I found that has served me very, very, very well. One of the things my wife loves about me is the fact that she goes, you're so comfortable being uncomfortable. You don't have a problem speaking in front of people. You know what? At one time I did. I just got up and did it. Mm-hmm. And I was horrible at the beginning, because you all are. And then you get better and better and better. And the whole idea is you're going to be uncomfortable for a while, especially when you try new things. So don't be afraid of that. And the other best advice I can give, if you love something, figure out a way that you can make the income that you need to live the life that you want. Mm. You know what? We have a very good friend of mine. His daughter is into psychology, and she just finished her master's. She has all the student debt, but she loves psychology. She went to get a master's so she'd get a raise to, I think, $65,000 a year. Mm. But her student debt's like $240,000.
Oh,
that's crazy.
My gosh.
I said, you know what? If she loves that field and wants to live that life, ask her how she can create an income through what she does that would be able to pay off her student loans and make more money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's such a good point. You know, I wrote a book on questions called Ask and You Will Succeed. And the question is so relevant here, the advice you gave her, because if she will stay in that question long enough to keep asking it, what are the ways that I can create wealth in this, in my field of what I love to do? And you keep asking that over and over again until you start getting those results. And then, of course, it's what you talked about earlier. It's getting in the uncomfortable zone, mm-hmm. where you say, okay, well, here's the way I can do this. Maybe she'll have to go out and create a CD series or be on a show like this or something, right? But it's uncomfortable. And that's how people create wealth. That's ongoing.
In fact,
ongoing
what
wealth.
She's actually doing is creating a textbook for high school.
Awesome.
High school psychology class. And you know what she did? Awesome. She didn't know how to go about writing that. Even, you know, I figured she would be if she's doing all the psychology stuff. She's got a master's, had to write a paper. And what she did is she found somebody that's good at writing books and became friends with them and using them as a mentor.
What a smart idea. Mm-hmm. Or even taking on a ghostwriter at some point, you know, mm-hmm. because we're not all good at everything. But what I love is this openness, this sort of energy of openness to create something different or something new rather than, and I love that you asked the question, how can you create enough wealth to pay that school debt and still do this work you love? Because as we know, one of the things we've discussed about the young people these days is they need to have meaning and purpose in what they do. They have to love it. Or they want to love it anyway. They need to find that thing that turns them on, that lights them up. Where more people long ago would just go work on the factory line or whatever because of the paycheck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and meaning and purpose. I believe that you touched on that, Paula. It's so important for all of us. I was thinking when I was driving in today, why am I doing this show with you, right? Mm-hmm. And we discussed that. I said, you know, we're doing it because we can put some new information. Our job is to tell the truth, to put truth out in the airways, and to help people to grow their businesses, grow their lives, grow their themselves, and mm-hmm. and let go of any limitations that are out there. So that purpose drives us to create this amazing show with people like Steve. So that purpose is important. And by the way, reconnecting to purpose on a continual basis for me is what helps me keep motivated and keep focused.
Mm-hmm.
I think it does a lot of us. So it's a success habit that I think we all need to put in place.
Yeah, really important. Or having the goals or whatever that is. You know, Steve mentioned a couple he'd worked with and their goal was buying a home. And I think that's true for a lot of people. When you have that clear goal, it helps you take the steps or helps you when you're out of your comfort zone. Right. You know, because they say all growth happens outside of your comfort zone.
Absolutely.
But we love being comfortable. That's the thing with human beings. We love comfort, even if it's dysfunctional.
We love that.
Irrational, dysfunctional comfort.
We love that. But, you know, right now, I'm wondering how many people, this is a great question for Steve, how many people are comfortable with how high the market is right now?
Not a lot. You know what?
And what the heck do we do about that?
Here's one thing. You know what? We are getting into that greed zone of the market where people think it's going to keep going up because it has. You know, hey, we had the pre-election stuff where it went down and then everybody thought it would go down with Donald Trump in there and it's still moving forward. In fact, it jumped up today because the election cycle in France, because they figure with the person who's leading, hey, you know what, they won't leave the European Union, and that's a stability thing and people don't like instability in the marketplace. This is a wonderful time to sit down with your advisor and talk about things or your investments. If you figure out you have 95% of your assets in the market, it'd be a good idea to look at creating a situation for maybe you only have 40% of your mm-hmm. assets in the market. I'm not saying putting them in a money market, mm-hmm. but finding investments that are non-correlated to the market or they have protected growth.
Yeah.
So the worst scenario that happens if the market tumbles on you, mm-hmm. hey, you didn't earn anything that year, big deal. You didn't lose 30%. Right now, that's smarter because if you had 40, 50, 60% of your money that's not correlated to the market and the market goes down, you only have 30 or 40% that could lose money.
Right.
And if you have some rules on top of that, you'd lose a small amount as opposed to a large amount, and you could position yourself to move forward when it rises again.
You know, it makes so much sense. I mean, I don't know about you, but I do remember the housing boom in 2008. So I think your advice is well heeded at this point in time.
So before we run out of time, and time has just flown with you, Steve, I'd just like to ask you, what's the most valuable thing you've done yourself to create wealth?
To really reinvent myself, and that happened after I went through cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And to just, I realized that there was so much more that I was missing. So much money was falling through the cracks.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of made the vow to not allow my clients' money to fall through the cracks so they can live the life they want. And if they have life's hit, they're going to be okay.
Yeah. And what I do know about you, too, is you also created the balance of making more time for family and those other things that you value. So balance. We all want to keep that in mind as we go into our week. Thank you so much, Steve. This has been so much fun being with you. And as always, Ken D. Foster, it's a great thing being with you.
And it's just marvelous being with you, Paula. I just love our show. It's just amazing.
We're all so happy.
we have a couple special guests coming up next week. So if you're listening to our show live, it's Tuesdays at 7 p.m. in San Diego on 1170 a.m. And that's KCBQ, the legendary KCBQ. So we hope you'll tune into that and listen to us and let your friends know about this. We're also on Facebook, and we're out there on Twitter and Instagram and so many other platforms.
And thank you for being with us this evening. We'll see you next week. Good night.